First Kings 4, verses 1 through 34. These are God's words, so let us hear them in such a way as to offer him worship. So King Solomon was king over all Israel. These were his officials: Azariah, the son of Zadok the priest, Elihareph and Ahijah, the sons of Shisha, scribes, Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, the recorder, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, over the army, Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, Azariah, son of Nathan, over the officers, Zavud, son of Nathan, a priest, and the king's friend, Ahishar, over the household, and Adoniram, the son of Abda, over the labor force. And Solomon had 12 governors over all Israel, who provided food for the king and his household. Each one made provision for 1 month of the year. These are their names: Ben-Hur in the mountains of Ephraim, Ben-Deker in Mekez, Shaalbim, Beit-Shemesh, and Elon Beit-Hanan, Ben-Chesed in Arubah, to him belongs Socho, and all the land of Hefer, Ben-Abinadab in all the regions of Dor. He had Taphat, the daughter of Solomon, his wife, Baana, the son of Ahilud, and Ta'anach, Megiddo, and all Beit Shean, which is beside Zaratan, below Jezreel. From Beit Shean to Abel Beholah, as far as the other side of Jokneam, Ben Geber and Ramath Gilead, to him belonged the towns of Yair, the son of Manasseh, in Gilead. To him also belonged the region of Argob in Bashan, 60 large cities with walls and bronze gate bars. Ahinadab, the son of Iddo, in Mahanaim, Ahimaaz in Naphtali. He also took Basemath, the daughter of Solomon, as a wife, Baana, son of Hushai, in Asher and Aloth, Jehoshaphat, son of Paruah, in Issachar, Shimei, the son of Elah, in Benjamin, Geber, the son of Uri, in the land of Gilead, in the country of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. He was the only governor who was in the land. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and rejoicing. So Solomon reigned over all kingdoms, from the river to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Now Solomon's provision for one day was 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fatted oxen, 20 oxen from the pastures, and 100 sheep, besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tifsha even to Gaza, namely over all the kings on this side of the river. And he had peace on every side all round him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan as far as Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots, and 12,000 horsemen. And these governors, each man in his month, provided food for King Solomon and for all who came to King Solomon's table. There was no lack in their supply. They also brought barley and straw to the proper place for the horses and steeds, each man according to his charge. And God gave Solomon wisdom, an exceedingly great understanding, and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, than Haman, Chalcol, and Darda, sons of Mahal, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also he spoke of trees, from the cedar of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish, and men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth, who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. And we hear at the end of chapter 4 something very similar to what we heard at the end of chapter 3. At the end of chapter 3, we heard And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. And then at the end of chapter 4, and men of all nations from all kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So, again in chapter 4, the Holy Spirit is giving us those clues right before and at the end of our passage that he is showing us how greatly wise Solomon was. This, of course, teaches us that God is faithful. God made a promise that he would make Solomon wise, and he kept his promise. God has made us many promises, that no one who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be put to shame, that everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus shall be saved, that he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion, that when Christ, who is our life, appears, we shall appear with him in glory, that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we will see him as he is, that those whom he knew and predestined and called and justified, he is so certain that it will have been done, he also glorified, says the apostle. So there are all these promises, and every time you read in the Bible where God has kept a promise, you are to remember that God is faithful. God keeps his promises. God said to Solomon that he had given him wisdom, and that he would also give him riches. The Lord keeps both of those things, and we see both of those things in this chapter. But also, Solomon, remember, is David's son. And David had been promised a son who would be a great king, and as far as earthly kings go, Solomon is a pretty great king. But David had been promised a son whose kingdom would be forever. And Solomon's kingdom is not going to be forever. In fact, we already have a hint, a reminder. In the last chapter, remember, we had reminders because he made a treaty with Pharaoh and he married an Egyptian wife. And although the Lord did grant him repentance, the end of it, he offered worship at the high places. And here we are told that Solomon has all of these chariots and horses, something that the Lord had told his people that they were not to do. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 16 reminds them, don't go back to Egypt and don't multiply chariots and horses. Well, 1 Kings 3, Solomon made a treaty with Egypt and took an Egyptian wife. 1 Kings 4, Solomon had so many horses and chariots that he needed 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. In fact, we read elsewhere, he had entire cities just for keeping chariots. So many were the chariots and the horses. And so we're reminded that as wise and great as Solomon is, he's actually, in all of his greatness that took the breath of the Israelites away and took the breath of the kings of the earth away. And we'll read about one who isn't even under his domain but comes to visit him, the Queen of Sheba. And it'll say that when she saw even how his servants were dressed, there was no breath left in her. Took her, that this great wisdom and these great riches and this great kingdom, although it took the breath of the world away, is for us just a hint of what Jesus is like as a king, of his perfect wisdom, of his perfect reign. So we can look at Solomon and his wisdom, and we can say, we wish our government was like that, and it's something for those who are in government and godly to aspire to. But we can also say, we're thankful that Jesus Christ is our government, and the government is on his shoulders, and to the increase of his reign and his peace, there is no end. It may seem to us like of the increase of government power in Washington, there is no end, but that's not true. It will end. Jesus Christ has all the power. And so as we consider some of what the Holy Spirit shows us in this passage about Solomon's wisdom and Solomon's reign, it is one of the great messages of this passage that those things in which Solomon is great, Jesus is perfect and infinite. And we rejoice to have him as king. And we pray with all more eagerness than, "Thy kingdom come." Right, so the first thing that we see, and especially in the first 19 verses, is a lot of names that may be very difficult for many to pronounce. And even I, following pronunciation cues and how they are written in English, was not pronouncing each of them the way they're written in the Hebrew. I don't remember a lot of these names. But all of these names, with the difficult pronunciations for us, makes it feel long and tedious. In fact, there's a temptation sometimes. You come to a 19 verses like this, and you say, okay, lots of Hebrew names, skip to verse 20. Don't do that, because often the length of the list is part of the point. It's part of the point here. Solomon had appointed just the right man for every position at every level of government, and he had so many government officials with him in Jerusalem that he needed a whole other set of officials to attend to what the government officials in Jerusalem would need. And of course, there was enough provision for this because of how wide a reign the Lord had given him, even over neighboring kingdoms, from the Euphrates to the Nile, which is what the Lord had promised his people. And now Solomon has that fulfilled literally, which is one reason why we don't look to the end of the age now, and say, well, one day the Jews will get that back. If Solomon had the literal geographical boundaries fulfilled, and he's just a small picture of what Jesus would be like, then the promise is kept with regard to Jesus with an even greater fulfillment. The little patch of land in the ancient Near East is part of the heavens and the earth. And the heavens and the earth belong to King Jesus. In fact, they have belonged to him as his right, as the God-man, our mediator, ever since he rose again from the dead. You remember, he told his apostles right before he ascended into heaven, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me." And so, the Lord Jesus has everything, and even the treasures of God, to give us, which he does by his Holy Spirit. Solomon had all of the treasures of the neighboring kingdoms to give to his subjects. And that's why there was more than enough, even with all these government officials. So we have orderly, effective administration, understanding of how to attend to every detail and how to put every person in exactly the correct place. And of course, what Solomon does little, Jesus does big. And he gets everything right. He knows exactly what he's doing. And there will be one day when the all sin and resistance to Christ are gone. And there will only be visible, beautiful order in the new heavens and the new earth forever and ever. And where we won't need any government except for Christ. Because we will all also be perfectly sanctified and glorified. So that's one thing about Solomon, the orderliness of his administration. Another thing about Solomon is the great prosperity of his administration. This we see from verse 20 through verse 23, and especially in verse 20. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea in multitude. So God had kept another one of his promises that he had made, that he would make them as numerous as the sand of the sea. Genesis 22:17, after Abraham had was about to offer Isaac, and the Lord had provided a substitute, he promised him that his descendants would be as the sand in the sea, and that they would possess the gate of their enemies. And we see that in verse 21, Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms, from the river, which means the Euphrates, to the land of the Philistines, he mentions their enemies, as far as the border of Egypt, who had been enemy number one. So enemies future and present and past. A little picture of the Lord giving not just prosperity, but power. And whereas the wealth of all those other nations was flowing into Israel, each Israelite had liberty and safety under the reign of Solomon. Verse 25, Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine and his fig tree. From Dan, which is the northernmost city in Israel, as far as Beersheba, which is the southernmost city in Israel, all the days of Solomon. And so you have the orderly administration, you have the great prosperity and liberty of his own people, and the subjugation of all of the enemies. You have his dominating power. And in the last place, you just have the beauty and breadth of his knowledge. The Lord didn't just give him wisdom for governing the people. He gave him marvelous wisdom of great beauty and great breadth. 3,000 proverbs, 1,500 songs, 3,000 proverbs, 1,005 songs, and they covered trees from the cedar tree of Lebanon, the greatest tree, to the little sprigs of hyssop that would take root in the wall and spring out and start to cover the wall. And he wrote all sorts of things about them, and not just plant life, but animal life, animals and birds and creeping things and even fish. And so people would come, kings of the earth, and men from all nations, all the kings of the earth would come to hear him talk about anything and everything. The breadth and the beauty of his knowledge. And this, of course, is even more so with King Jesus, because he's the creator. He doesn't just know about these things as one who has studied them. He knows about them as one who made them and maintains them. And everything we learn about in all the world, as you do your school and you learn stuff, and your science classes, for instance, you're seeing the great wisdom of the breadth and the beauty, seeing the great breadth and beauty of the wisdom of King Jesus, who made and maintains all things. So let us marvel at his wisdom, and let us feel secure and know that all things belong to us, because they all belong to Jesus and are being used for our good, that we may delight in him who is our King. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us that you keep your promises. Thank you for reminding us to see the wisdom of King Jesus and how you rule and overrule in all things, and to look forward to the day when the kingdoms of the earth will have become the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all sin and all evil and all enemies, even death itself, will have been destroyed. We pray that you would make us to rest and rejoice in him, to be thankful that we belong to him, to give him praise and honor and obedience and service from cheerful and grateful hearts. We ask that you would help us then by your Spirit to do these things. In Jesus' name, amen.